Welcome to episode 48 of The Summoned, a podcast dedicated to the Judgment Eternal Champions miniature game. I'm one of your hosts, David Coakley, a.k.a. Fabius Bile on the Discord, and I'm here with our other wonderful co-host, David Wonky, Wonky Kong, on the Discord. And how are you doing this evening, Wonky?
Oh, we're doing good. Just had a quick event over the weekend, which was fun. And yeah, I don't know if we're going to cover that this one because we're kind of loaded up on some other content, but we'll talk about that one probably in next episode, I think. We'll talk about that. But
okay.
Yeah, doing good. That's also, turns out I'm not good with Torin, so, you know, we're...
With Torin or...
Torin, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's a spoiler for...
Okay, so that's the spoiler for the other one. Okay.
Yeah.
Good,
yeah,
good to know.
I got challenged to play Torin, which I did. And, yeah.
Okay.
Didn't go the greatest.
Well, fair enough.
That's the best way to describe it.
We'll look forward to hearing that update of why you are not so good with Torin, I guess, in our next episode then.
Yep.
All right. Well, obviously, I know we've got a fairly jam-packed episode with some things that are coming up. So let's get right into it tonight with the Hobby Corner. All right, Wonky. You working on anything?
Yes, actually.
Woo!
I got my mushroom terrain sets
all
printed up.
Bastard.
So, it is my plan
mm-hmm.
to have that painted by Warfare Weekend.
Nice.
Which gives me roughly two-ish months.
Yeah.
A little bit less than 2 months. So, hopefully, I think this week I'm kind of busy, but I'm hoping next week I'll start scheduling a couple of, hobby nights with my brother, and the plan is to get a set fully painted up for Warfare. So that will be kind of fun. I know we'll have the 2D terrain from Creature Caster for the events. However, I would like to be able to have a 3D table. I think that would be pretty fun to be able to have.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely make for some, you know, good photos and stuff, especially for the top table to play on
yeah.
at the end of it. So it's a good way to do
it. Yeah. And I know they have at least one set of like a three set of terrain painted for demos.
Okay.
And I'll have to ask and see if they've got plans to include any 3D terrain in the, cause they've got like a big tournament kit that they travel with
mm-hmm.
For running events. And I'm a little curious if they have any plans for 3D terrain from a logistical and like, you know, shipping and space perspective.
Right.
3D terrain is not the most practical, right? When you're trying to run,
yeah,
you know, 12 plus tables of terrain.
Yep.
Because I remember it was at LVO. They had, I couldn't believe the number of giant, like, Rubbermaid, like,
containers.
Totes they had of just terrain. And it was, like, it was actually kind of wild. And they had it, and they actually had it set up where, like, each tote was for a specific table.
Okay.
And then, like, they stored the tote underneath, you know, the mat with then the table with the terrain on it, which...
Nice.
But, you know, they were also running a 960-person event or whatever it was for LVO.
Right.
That's a lot of freaking bins.
Yeah.
And Creature Caster is not the size of Games Workshop. So.
That is very true.
Well,
very true.
I think there's a little bit different of scale.
Currently. Yeah.
Currently. We'll see what happens, right?
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'll be working on that. Do you got any projects you're working on?
Well, I mean, I've still been working on that terrain set for my buddy of Warcry Terrain, and I've made it, I'm probably about at the halfway point on it now with basing.
Okay.
It's definitely a bigger project than I initially thought, but it's coming out well. Took some pictures over Labor Day and played some games and showed him and his wife, and they okay. absolutely loved it. So I know I'm going in the right direction for what they want.
That's
so
good.
That's always a, you know, a good starting point, right?
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. So
yeah. So hopefully I'll be done with that within, you know, the next few weeks, and then I can start actually trying to figure out what team I want to play for Warfare, because big spoiler alert, I'm actually going.
Nice. That I'm happy to hear. to get to see you in person again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually gonna, if you didn't say that, I was gonna harass you about that, to, you know, to make sure you're fully painted for Warfare.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it may be fully painted V1 models, but damn it, it'll be fully painted.
Yeah, I need to, I've got a handful of models that are not painted that I might need to try and get painted. Either terribly by me or by one of the guys I tend to go to.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a bunch of V1 stuff that's painted, and for that, I was kind of waiting on getting my V2 stuff that I've got, like, you know, because I got like a Piper, right?
Yeah.
In the starter, so some of that stuff I might try and get painted, because as much as I do love the scale of V1, playability wise, I have really been enjoying using V2 models. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll try and get some of this other stuff painted. Some of them are models I don't think I would use. I think, like, my Ashel's unpainted,
mm-hmm.
which is just not a high-priority model for me. My Isabel's unpainted, which I haven't historically played a lot of Ista. And then I know my Piper's unpainted. So I'm not in bad shape, I would guess, with stuff that's unpainted, but probably not a terrible idea.
Yeah.
So
makes sense. So, but yeah, that's what I'm working on. But then, like I said, after this league, cause this league was the challenge league, right? Where you gave me Gruul and I decided to go with it. And, we'll talk about that a little bit later on towards the end of the episode tonight as to how we're doing with our, league stuff. But, that is, once I'm done with this league, it's going to be picking a god that I want to play for Warfare and figuring that out and just running with it.
Do you have any early thoughts on what you might be thinking of for Warfare? No idea.
I mean, realistically, it could be... Tomas is definitely up there in the running because I really do like Tomas. Burellin's what I took last year, and I found that Burellin was a nice change of pace because I really just turned my brain off and went.
Okay.
Because sometimes, you know, you need to just do that. So we'll see. Right now, it's definitely, I'm looking forward to playing some Tomas. But if I had to guess, it's probably going to be Tomas, Burellin, or Krognar. That's probably where I'm going to end up.
Yeah, that doesn't seem bad. Since I won't most likely be playing in any events, because I'll be running them, so I'll only be there if it would be to prevent a buy. I think that's my current plan. Obviously, Gruul's always my standby for that, so, you know.
Yeah. Well,
see. I'm branching out lately, so.
Don't worry. This year, for the threes, unlike Adepticon, I may not look at you and go, what should I play? Tauren, and then play it.
Tauren and threes is kind of funky. Unless you really put some thought into it, I think, or you're very well versed in Tauren.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you really know the ins and outs of it, because it's, I don't know. Yep. Tauren feels a little tricky to play at times.
Yes.
And threes can make that a little bit worse because you have less models, obviously. So.
Yep. Nope, that is so true. Well, Wonky, obviously we've talked a bit about Hobby Corner. We've talked about what we're both, you know, working on / what we're going to be working on. Why don't we keep moving and trucking on forward, because we got a lot of stuff to get through into... Judgment news. What do you got for us?
All right. Well, the big news with Judgment is Warfare Weekend. It is the next convention that we have coming up. I think it's the one of the last conventions of the year, and I don't know if there are any conventions in between now and then that will be running Judgment.
Okay.
Warfare Weekend is in St. Louis. It is running, I believe it's the first weekend in
November 3rd through 5th.
Yep, November 3rd through 5th in St. Louis. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there is a threes event on Friday. I believe starts at 10 o'clock.
Yes, that's what it's saying.
Yep, starts at 10 o'clock. It is currently listed. We'll see if we have it fixed by the time this releases. It is currently listed as two events, but as I kind of mentioned before, I think I mentioned it before, of possibly merging it. I've got word today that we are going to be merging the two events into a single event.
Okay.
I think this will make the event a lot more playable. And I think Threes is a simple enough version that, you know, we can get some newer players playing it.
Yeah.
And I think there might be a little bit of expectation of, like, you know, no curb stomping the newbies kind of thought. I mean, a tournament's a tournament. It is a tournament.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, let's help people, right? The game's in its early stages. You don't need to be, you know, curb stomping someone that has played a game, right?
Right.
You play your game to play the game, but, you know, also be helpful.
Yeah.
I think is what we're going to try and set the tone for that event on.
Yeah. It's that whole idea of, you know, yes, you're there to play the game, to win the game, because it is still a tournament. But at the same time, there's a difference between winning the game and being a complete and utter, you know, dick about it versus playing the game and helping guide a new person through the game to still, while they may lose, they still feel successful at playing the game and understanding it.
Yeah, and I definitely think it will be a thing where, you know, the expectation would be that you literally handhold everything they do. But there might be at least a little bit of expectation that you help the player learn if they are newer.
Yeah.
We only have two people signed up for the beginners one at the moment. So I'm not worried about it being, you know, a widespread thing because, you know, obviously as tournaments go, they tend to, you know, sort themselves out after a round or two.
Yeah.
But we do currently have seven people signed up for Threes. Again, that starts on the Friday. It's going to be normal veto format. Tournament packet will be released shortly. I keep saying that. I've been slacking a little bit, but I was also waiting for a few things, such as, you know,
these events whether you merging. Were going to be merging.
Yeah. Yep. So, and I've got most of the packet done already, but essentially it's going to follow the same rules if you played at the AdeptCon or Nova and read through their packets. It's basically we're all kind of working off the same framework. The only difference will be, you know, timing of rounds and the maps, but it will be veto for the Threes event. And then on Saturday, it's listed as a two-day event, but that won't be the case. It will be a single-day event. And it looks like we have eight right now, which is three rounds. If we get any more, it will go up to four rounds. So
there you go.
Or wait, yeah, eight. Yeah, eight's three. Yeah. So, and that one... yeah, well, it'll just be a normal fives event. Again, veto, you know, nothing too wild from a rules perspective. So we're looking like we'll probably hit four rounds because if we get anyone else currently not registered to join, that bumps it over eight, and then that will guarantee a fourth round, I believe. Or is it possibly a fourth round with pair downs? I forget the exact numbers. I'm looking forward to it. And that one starts 9 a.m. on Saturday. And I will do my best to avoid the painters on Friday night.
Well, don't worry. I mean, I'll be there to help this time. So
is now a running joke.
Now that I know we need to get you to avoid them, we can do that.
We got those two events for Warfare Weekend. I'm not unaware of any other conventions coming up that would have Judgment presence at them. I know Warfare Weekend will have Creature Caster, will have a booth, and we'll be there.
Yep.
I don't know of anything else before the end of the year. And then the next thing after Warfare Weekend, convention-wise, would be LVO, which is the third weekend in January, I believe. But we're definitely a ways off from that one.
Yep.
So not as worried about that. So, but I'm excited you're going to be there.
Yes.
I'm excited to run events again, and I'm looking forward to seeing if we can get some good turnout. We're not super far off of the turnout from AdeptCon, so I wouldn't hate to get kind of approaching those numbers considering AdeptCon is a much larger convention.
Yeah, it'd be nice. So, well, I think that's about all we have for Judgment news. So, Wonky, let's jump into the main topic at hand tonight. And in a way, we're going to enter the dojo. Let's talk about the newest league. That's Judgment Folks Part 19.
Yes.
Right? So that just kicked off, a week ago?
Yeah, this past week.
Yeah,
yeah, I think we're technically in round two is at the point that we record.
Yes.
Yeah,
round two got published yesterday because we were waiting on Coonerbus and I to finish our match on Sunday morning.
Yep. So, part 19, I didn't realize it's actually been running that long. Considering it's basically one a month-ish with a little bit less. I mean, yeah, we've been going pretty strong on the online Vassal Leagues. Pretty good.
Yes, they have. I got to say, it's when I went and looked at who's participating in this one, I got to admit, it felt a little weird not seeing Robbie in there.
He's been in quite a few of them.
Yeah, he's usually in most of them. And to see that he wasn't in there, I was like, wait, what? What's going on? So obviously, you know, hopefully he's enjoying his break that he's taking. But it's good to see Guns back in one. I saw that he posted a fairly good game. I hope Nick got some good practice against him.
Yeah.
And then obviously you had your game, I had mine, which we'll get into. But yep. Let's start getting into the stats. So how many players did we have overall for this
league? It was 14 total across both NA and EU.
Okay.
So we're down a bit, but we're still kind of in summer, so that always kind of impacts it. And I think that I feel like the numbers have kind of fluctuated up and down at times. Just because as we keep doing these events over and over and over again, right? It kind of people just need a break.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, well, and we all know life gets in the way at times.
It's not 14. I think it's, wait, what is it? 12. So it actually looks like it's 16. I guess my one sheet was
okay.
Off.
Okay. So, well, and like we said, you know, we understand, you know, not everybody is always able to get into each one. Sometimes you need to take a break just to give yourself a break. Sometimes life gets in the way, right? That's the way it always kind of works. So, let's talk about the breakup of number of people playing each god.
Yeah. So, we had a pretty good distribution. So the highest played this time around is Ista with 4. Then Torn and Krognar were tied at 3. Then Tomas and Gruul were tied at 2. And then we had 0 Bruellen.
Huh.
Which is very strange to me. This was probably the one thing I saw and I'm like, okay, this is a little weird. Because Bruellen has felt like, you kind of mentioned it at least a little bit earlier about the... I wouldn't say you turn your brain off, but its game plan does tend to be a lot simpler than, you know, say Krognar or Torin.
Yeah.
Where it's more movement-based or things of that nature. And I know some of it might be those that are playing or are playing with things that they could play with in person. So Bruellen, I feel like loses quite a bit if you don't have Zhonya.
That's
and,
true.
You know, Zhonya's not in the starter box where, you know, Ista, Krognar, you know, you get quite a bit. I think there's a good chunk of Tauren heroes in the starter, right? You get like, is it Alandir and I think Astariel are both in the box. I thought in the starter, but
yeah, that wouldn't surprise me, but
so it feels like Torn has some good options.
Well, and you have Brock.
Yeah, Brock. So Brock, you kind of see quite a bit in Torn because of low fate cost and good monster hunting ability. So yeah, I don't know. The Bruellen to me just felt a little bit low.
No, I definitely agree with you that seeing 0 Bruellen is definitely weird. And I'm not sure what to make of it. Obviously when I said earlier that, you know, it's about turning your brain off, that's for me, like the player in me who overthinks a lot of things, especially when you're playing some of these other gods, right? Where you really do have to have a plan. Nice thing about Bruellen is for the most part, your plan is attack.
Yeah.
So, but now you still have to obviously have some strategy with that when you're planning, when your whole plan is, I'm going to attack them. But it's nice that you can kind of just kind of turn that functionality of, I have to analyze every choice, and it's, no, you know what, I'm building this list to do one thing, and that's come into your face, I'm going to beat you into, you know, into submission, and I'm going to take your souls.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, otherwise, though, the breakdown seems pretty healthy, especially for some that we've seen that has been a bit lower lately, especially Gruul has tended to be, at least lately, one of the more least played gods. But it does look, you know, Ista and Krognar are have been pretty highly played. I think that trend's going to kind of keep continuing, just because of them being in the starter. So if you have the starter, you're probably the most familiar playing with them because you have a lot of options with champions for them. So that just, I guess, doesn't surprise me too much that they are, that they're just higher represented. I think that's going to keep going, you know, until the resin wave stuff kind of lands.
Yeah, I think so too.
And more people have options. Also, we've, you know, a lot of what's a little bit interesting with that, though, is the fact that these are online leagues where you do have availability of every model in the game, right? Yep. Through Vassal. It's not like you got to buy them or anything. So I think it'll be a bit more interesting to see what people play in person.
Yep.
Especially, I think Warfare Weekend might be a bit interesting from the perspective that, you know, resin wave should be in people's hands by then.
We're hoping,
right? We're hoping. And if that's the case, right, then you would have access to, you know, pretty much any god. Yeah. I forget what the Depticon breakdown was, but if I do remember, Ista and Krognar were a bit higher when it came to just, you know, being played. But obviously, you know, a lot of people just the starter.
Yeah.
You can't really go outside Issa or Krognar overly well.
Yeah.
I think with just the starter. I think Torin may or may not be one of the ones you could do. Gruul feels really weird with just what's in the starter. Tomas, I mean, I guess you have Rakir. And then maybe, I guess, if you picked up some of the demons, you might have some. So I guess with the starter plus, if you would have bought demons at the convention, you probably could have played an okay Tomas Warband, because that would give you access to, like, Ankura, which I know I like in Tomas, but most people hate. You know, Ashel can be pretty strong in Tomas.
Right.
You know, Nias with the poison, Mizuzi's pretty good in Tomas. So actually, kind of with some of the demons plus the starter, you might be able to make an okay, you know, Tomas Warband, to be honest.
Yeah.
But missing Fazeal feels bad.
Yeah,
it really does.
It really does. That is so true. So, all right. Well, I mean, that's good that we have that breakdown. And I actually am glad to see that, you know, the numbers are fairly even minus the one god. But I think that's something that you're always going to see is there's going to be one god who is kind of drastically underrepresented in some way, shape, or form, especially because you always have, you know, with the way that the Galea Brothers and Creature Caster has planned to do it, you're going to keep getting new heroes, you know, eventually showing up, and people are going to want to try the new hero. They're going to want to play the new thing.
Well, I think Bruellen, right, so Lori Bella was Gruul and Ista.
Mm-hmm.
Yorgoth was Krognar and Gruul. So I guess Abathos was Torn
and Krognar. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so I guess Bruellen hasn't really gone a new champion.
Yep.
In the last three that we have gotten rules released for.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it probably makes a little bit of sense of like, hey, I can play anything. Maybe I want to play the new toys.
Yeah.
And actually, as we get into, you know, what we're coming into next, I think that actually probably is actually a bit why.
Well, and I was going to say, and that's a perfect segue into the next part of this topic that we always, you know, do when we do these breakdowns of the leagues, which is the hero count, right?
Yeah. So hero counts, couple of interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go with some of the top and bottom heroes, and then we'll kind of get into some takes on that. So, the top hero was actually Doenragar, which I was actually a little bit surprised by, and he was I think I had a minor tweak in here. So he used to be 2 ahead of the next, but he was taking 8 of, I think I said 16 players. So on literally 50% of warbands, he was showing up. And that's with Ista and Gruul only accounting for 6 of the 16.
Yep.
So he's being taken out of God twice. I believe one of those is actually me.
One of them is also Kunarbus.
Yeah. So I'm taking him in Krognar. Kunarbus is taking him in Tomas.
Yep.
But yeah, he's really popular there. I think Dhonragar, he's always been one of my favorites. He is a bit of a gear check, right? He is the either you can deal with him or you can't. And if you can't, he gets to kind of, you know, do whatever he wants to do.
Yep.
And that can be really strong with a model like him that's difficult to move off of shrines or from contesting soul pits. Redirect can absorb a full attack.
Yep.
He's pretty good. He doesn't always do a lot besides not die, but sometimes not dying is really good.
I was gonna say, sometimes not dying is all you need. And I mean, that's one of the things is like, you know, I don't remember how long ago the discussion was on the Discord in the Warband Dojo channel, right? But I have mentioned it before. Guns has talked about how he thinks Dhonragar is the best tank in the game slash defender in the game. And what was really funny is at the time that he said that, right, Dhonragar's numbers were down. People weren't playing him as much. People weren't using him. And to watch him kind of skyrocket back up has been fun for me. Because it was shortly after there that I was like, well, let's see how he does in Tomas. And he did really well in my Tomas band that I was playing. And I was like, okay, no, I can legitimately see what Guns is talking about, because this dude can literally slot into any warband and he feels good.
Yeah, I think.
And I love that about him.
Yeah, I feel like with tanks, it's a lot easier to fit into most warbands. The thing with Dhonragar is he's very good at not dying and holding a point, but he doesn't provide a lot of setup like a couple of the other defenders do.
Correct.
But he does provide that kind of, like I mentioned, kind of that gear check, right? Like, okay, do you have a tool to deal with him or not?
Because
if you don't, he can feel pretty safe, and that can allow your opponent to be a lot more aggressive with him, just from a positioning standpoint. And then also, you know, what they put near him. Because usually, you know, it does take an action to stone form.
Yep.
So unless you're not stone forming with him, which sometimes you might do, but then he is kind of killable. He's a skull stat line at that point.
Yep.
So you're not getting a lot of attack out of him or damage out of him. He's not knocking down like a Thrommel or a Marcus can. He can't really take over a game like a Thrommel can either. Like Thrommel, if you get him to level 3, he's just, you play Super Mario Brothers and he can really just kind of take over a game with the AoE knockdowns he can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's just really reliable. And yeah, I think he can slide into a lot of different warbands.
Yeah, he absolutely can. And I mean, like, that's one of the things, right? If we compare him to, in my opinion, like Gunn said, he thinks Lugdrug is probably the second best tank in the game because of the defensive he provides. You know, a quick thing here, Lugdrug was only taken 3 times in this, but the defender that I really like to compare Donnie to is Marcus. And Marcus was actually taken 6 times. And part of the reason I like to compare the two of them is because, like you said earlier, Donnie has that one thing that he does really well, which is not die and honestly pick a point and be disruptive, right? Marcus, one of the reasons I really like Marcus is because Marcus has the whole toolkit. He's Soul Harvest 4, knocks people down with his shield, you know, has the ability to hit and do damage with his sword, can give out protective stance, and the list goes on. And that's why I like Marcus as a defender. But when you're talking about which one of them dies less, it's most definitely Dhonragar, because he has that ability to be like, cool, I'm going to stand here and I'm res 3. I don't care you just crit me for 4 because you only did 1.
Yeah, with Marcus, the big thing there is that he does a lot more setup, and his defending is probably a lot less. Res 1 is one of those things where it gains a lot of value when you go from Res 1 to Res 2. If you're going from Res 0 to Res 1, like, it's nice, but you're maybe saving a couple of points of damage depending on what's attacking, what you're trying to defend with. Where if you're going from Res 1 to Res 2, right, that means you're ignoring glances.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where you start saving a lot of damage.
Correct.
And it makes it a little bit harder for, you know, things like poison, fire, etc. And, like, he wants Fate, I think, sometimes to use the ball. Where Don't Regard, like, Stone Form is useful in certain matchups, but it's probably not as useful as it used to be.
Hmm. You mean Stone Grasp?
Or Stone Grasp, sorry. Yeah, not Stone Form. Stone Grasp, excuse me. And so you're probably not spending Fate on him, where Marcus, I feel like, kind of want to look for vectors where you can make a wall be very strong, because there are times where it definitely can be. But definitely a lot more killable than Don't Regard. He's definitely a lot more active, I think, too, where Don't Regard feels a lot more passive. A lot of times, like, Don't Regard is going to charge something and then Stone Form.
Yep.
Because he wants to be where he is. The Stone Form prevents the pushing. There's not really a lot of tools to get around it currently.
Mm-hmm.
That will change as some of the, you know, the non-Kickstarter version 1 heroes start releasing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Don't Regard and Marcus are going to be pretty popular. I think you see a couple of them paired together in Ista, I think. There's a couple of Ista warbands that I think bring both. So that's one of the things where you might see him a bit more. Because there he is in that one.
Yeah.
So, Don't Regard, he's kind of jumped up in popularity. It was a bit lower. I'm assuming he'll stay pretty popular for, you know, as long as Ista stays kind of popular.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like with Ista, you know, a lot of people are bringing double tank with Ista. And that means either I feel like you're bringing Marcus and Thrommel if you're trying to be a lot more aggressive.
Yeah.
Or you're bringing Marcus Don't Regard if you're trying to be a bit more defensive. Yep. So I think there's a bit of a preference there. Don't Regard was a bit higher. The next highest was a little interesting, and that's Rakir.
Okay.
I think he got taken out of God in multiple warbands. I think there's like an Ista warband that took him, which I thought was kind of intriguing. Yeah, so there are 7 Rakirs. And we had 3 Krognar, 2 Tomas. So there's, you know, on the surface, there are 2 taking him out of God, which I can look quick. Let's see here. So there's So Jeff took him in Torin when I played against him.
Okay.
And then the other one is there was, I think, Ista took him. Yep. One of the European players in Ista took him.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, Rakir's been, I feel like he's been pretty popular for a while. He feels like he fits most Krognar in Tomas warbands tend to throw him in.
Yep.
I don't think I've seen a lot of either of those that ran without Rakir, to be honest.
Yeah.
I can't recall the last time I've actually seen one without Rakir.
Yeah. I gotta say, it's definitely interesting seeing him being taken in a couple other places than just, you know, Tomas and friggin' Krognar, but I'm also, in a way, I'm not surprised with, like you mentioning that Jeff took him in Torin, because we've talked about it, right? Torin really tends to have, they have all the ranged aggressors they could ever really want, but they don't have some of those melee guys, and one of the things you and I have talked about in the past is how Rakir actually plays. He's a melee aggressor who realistically plays like he's ranged.
Yeah, you definitely can play him that way. And I think the strong thing with Rakir in Torin is some of the hit and run stuff from the perspective of either you can soften something up with a ranged character, then finish it with Rakir that can then get back to safety.
Yep.
Or vice versa, right? Rakir can go in, do some damage, bounce out, and then let a ranged character finish something off. So I do kind of like him in the Torin one. I think it's interesting too, coming back with three actions with Torin.
Yeah,
because that lets you like shadow step and charge something on the respawn, which is not normally an extra threat vector you see.
Yep.
With in Torin, because it is a lot of range characters if you're going most of champions. So I like the Rakir, inclusion there. I think he can fit in a couple of places. I think you got to be a little bit careful with him sometimes of if you just like kind of randomly throw him into a warband. Because if he's on his own, you might want to temper expectations. Because, yes, he can massively blow things up. But, if you don't have a little bit of help with some extra poison or something, he can feel really, really dicey at times.
Yeah.
And if your dice don't go.
100%.
So we also talked about Marcus already. And then the next highest was Yorgoth at 6. So he's one of the new heroes.
Yep.
He is a Gruul and Krognar. So we're seeing him. I think he's taken in both Gruul lists and all the Krognar lists.
I mean, if you thought I was going to play Gruul without Yorgoth, you're nuts.
I mean, there's some interesting stuff you can do with him in Gruul. I think you'll see him very commonly in Gruul. He is interesting from the perspective that you really need to get him a level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be actually. Oh, there's three Gruul players, not two.
Oops. Oh, there's three Gruul. Oh, good.
Yeah. One thing didn't quite work.
That's okay. Well, correction there. Now we know there are three Gruul players. So that's good to know.
Yeah, I'm. So as we're doing more of these leagues, I've been trying to build up some
stats.
Build up some of the stats, and I must have not quite done stuff right.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah, I gotta say, I took Yorgoth in mine, namely because I haven't played many games with Yorgoth, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I need to play this champion like I did with Kogan back in the day. Where I was like, I understand he needs that level, and then what makes him better? This. And I really just need to sit down and be able to play him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to do that for me is to sign up for one of the That's Judgment folks, throw him in my list. And I'll tell you right now, I put him in when I played Kunderbuss this week, as quick spoiler. He and I had played a practice game, and he had brought Rakir, and I actually utilized Rakir dropping Shadow Orbs to get him his melee bonus for a little bit, and then started popping them with him to do his true damage. So when we played our actual tournament game, he ended up actually dropping Rakir.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was like, nope, okay, I'm not dealing with this.
Wow, yeah, so, okay. So the actual totals, yeah, my formulas got messed up, but okay. Good. So the totals were, it was Ista and Torin were tied at 4.
Oh, okay.
Krognar and Gruul tied at 3, and then Tomas
with
2, and then Barone was 0. So there was an extra Torin I missed, and an extra Gruul.
Okay.
Yeah, my formula template was a little bit off. But yeah, so Yorgoth, we're seeing him, I believe. So Sebroff took him in Ista.
Yeah.
I took him in Krognar. Sonny took him in Krognar. You had him in Gruul. Corey had him in Gruul. Gamer Dad had him in Gruul. So he wasn't in every Krognar warband. He was only in 2 of them.
Right.
So it looks like Jeff's Krognar does not include him. But he has Kogan. It has been a little bit discussed if you would ever want both of them in the same warband, because both of them really want level 2. It looks like Sunny is running that variation in Krognar right now. So, but yeah, so I've been enjoying Yorgoth quite a bit in Gruul. I think he's very strong. We'll have to see how it shakes out a bit with him as he goes. I think people don't know how to play against him yet. I've had 1 or 2 games where he was just super, super punished.
Yep.
The whole time. And then it definitely hurts a bit, when that kind of stuff happens. So,
yeah, I mean, I've played 2 practice games before I played Kunderbuss, right? And one of them was Kunderbuss as a practice game.
Yeah.
And so in my first practice game, which was against Watts, who's also participating in this, and it was a game just to get him back in to kind of remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
My Yorgoth, in between two turns, did a ton of damage because I was able to get a monster kill, got him in position, and then basically swung home for the fields, right?
Yeah.
As we're familiar, to where he ended up with two souls on him. But then that following turn, when he did that as the first initial activation, he then just immediately turned around and got punished. And it made me laugh because the first reaction I got out of Watts was, "Wow, Yorgoth broken. Oh, that's so busted." And then he turns around and punishes him with two souls on him. And I'm like, yeah, he's so broken. Let me tell you.
Yeah, he's definitely one where, like, the he can put out a lot of damage.
Yes.
Like, he can put out a lot of damage.
Yeah.
If you can kind of set him up a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing with him that, can take a little bit of effort with him. But he also can break up stuff pretty well, and like, yes, you were using him with the Shadow Orb stuff, which I think is a bit underrated part of him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think he's fantastic. I don't hate taking him in Gruul. I think he fits very well with Gruul. And yeah, I think we'll see a lot of him in Gruul and Krognar. I think Krognar, you might see a bit less of him. I don't know. My first game with him, he felt a little lackluster, but I think that's, I made some other mistakes that kind of impacted that.
Right.
I think more than what him himself. But he is a level hog. He,
yes,
really, really needs that, that level two. Cause if you're not getting him that level two, he feels like a kind of, average, I would say, damage dealer, I guess is probably what I would say.
Yeah.
He clearly does a fair chunk of damage.
But if he's not getting to swing home for the fences on his crits, he's just...
Yeah, if you're not generating that second attack. So for those that aren't familiar with Yorgoth, his level two is that when he gets to...
Anytime he crits
someone. Yes, he gets to make a second attack at another model within his reach two, and he gets a free zero action point attack. So without that, he doesn't really have any more damage up ability. I don't know. Okay, that's not working right. Any more abilities to increase his damage. There we go.
Yeah.
And it has to be on a second target, so you're splitting your damage, which isn't always the worst thing, depending on, you know, what you're attacking into and stuff.
Yep.
And then his level three is you can spend a fate to make any solid you do be treated as a crit. So obviously that allows him to trigger his level two. It allows him to crit, you know, on that second attack a lot more.
Yep.
So then you can kind of bounce these attacks around and just do big time damage. You know, it's not unheard of with a Yorgoth that's level three to put out 20 points of damage.
Yeah.
You know, pretty easily. With the two hex melee reach, it's not difficult, you know, especially when the game comes a little bit of a scrum.
Yep.
To have him charge in, hit the first guy, you know, if you've gotten to level three, he probably has something like a Vorpal. You get a solid. If you get one S in there, you can put down a Shadow Orb. He gets one extra melee, gets to attack the other person for free. You get a follow-up attack, you hit that person. Now, if you have a Shadow Orb, odds are you're, you know, probably critting both of them, you know, when you only need a solid.
Yep.
So he just does a lot of spread damage, but it really feels kind of like Kogan. Kogan is one where his level two feels very important. The extra reach on his blunderbuss is a massive deal.
Yep.
And I think that will, you know, that actually definitely pushes him kind of from like the Kogan's okay to, all right, Kogan's a problem, because he also gets the plus one RNG, so, you know, extra dice. Yep. With that very, very dangerous blunderbuss.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll definitely be interesting to see how Yorgoth's numbers fluctuate after, you know, A, people have seen him some and start learning to play against him, and then mm-hmm. who sticks with bringing him to what warbands.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see where he's at. But yeah, so again, our top four heroes were Donragar, Rakir, Marcus, and Yorgoth. So it was kind of cool to see, in my opinion, two of the defenders in that top. The top four.
I feel like you'll always see defenders, one of them be pretty high, just because you tend to take more of them.
Right.
There's less of them around compared to damage dealers, and you tend to always make sure you have two of them. And then they're also a type of model that do really well going out of God.
Yeah. I'm always happy to see two of them at the top. But I think the surprise one here was Rakir.
Rakir for me is one that, as long as Krognar stays very popular, will probably be towards that. So, as long as Krognar is popular, I think you'll see him up there. And then obviously with Tomas, because like I said, I think it's pretty rare to see a Krognar or Tomas warband without Rakir. So okay. He is going to fluctuate as those gods' popularity fluctuates.
And that's fair.
All right. I do want to call out real quick before we get to the bottom heroes, how the new heroes ended up going for popularity.
So, I mean, we talked about Yorgoth already.
So we talked about Yorgoth quite a bit. So Abathos was actually one of the next highest taken heroes.
That makes sense.
He had five appearances. Again, people, you know, probably trying to lean more towards playing the new stuff. So he was pretty well representative. So it makes, you know, half of the warbands. You're almost half of 16, so almost there. And then Lori Bella was taken in four warbands, which, with the amount of Ista and Gruul we had, seems about right. I mean, I know I love Lori Bella to a sickening degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much any time I think I would play Ista or Gruul, I know I would take her. So there's a few people decided not to, that taking her in God. You probably could take her out of God. However, I feel like the two gods she's in, which are Ista and Gruul, she kind of fits both of their game plans pretty good. She provides extra healing, which Ista is always good with more healing. She can provide an interesting gun, which I think both of those warbands can enjoy. She also likes playing with minotaurs and dwarves, which again, Gruul and Ista are where a lot of those characters fall. And I think both of those warbands can play pretty Fate light.
Yep.
As well, Gruul, once you kind of get their initial item setup kind of sorted, tend to be very Fate light. Right, like you said, you know, you've been testing out Yorgoth. Yorgoth is not really one to eat much fate.
Mm-mm.
His fate ability is very corner case, but it's also strong when it is good.
Yep.
It's called Unbreakable. He can spend a fate to remove all enemy tokens from him, which I believe would also works on conditions. So if you load him up with conditions, he can spend one fate to just get rid of all of it.
Yep.
Also lets him get rid of some of the non-condition things. Such as, you know, like a weakening blow from Ankura that drops his damage. So kind of an interesting thing there. But it's definitely not a thing I think I've played quite a few Yorgoth games and I've yet to use once. You know, and then like Donragar doesn't tend to spend it. Gendris,
she can spend it on the forest, but
yeah, spend it on the forest, which has value at times. You know, Zyvera will use it when she gets to level 3 for Soul Link. You might use it to raise dead before that.
Yeah.
I've not used raise dead too much, to be honest.
Yeah. So it just there's a lot of very light fate expenditure there, which gives you plenty of time to use her hand grenade.
Yeah, and I haven't played a lot of Ista, but I'm assuming, you know, things like Brock don't really consume a lot of fate.
Yeah.
Again, outside kind of getting their item, you know, those early items on them. But, you know, things like Thrommel definitely can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think she's in a pretty good spot, kind of middle of the pack and being taken, which, you know, to me is wild. I mean, every warband should use Lori Bell. But.
Well, we know that you're a dwarf and a Minotaur fan, so
yeah.
That's no surprise.
The grenade is just way too much fun. You get addicted to it.
You'll have to ask Kunerbus how he feels about the grenade after last week.
Did he not like it?
It ended up causing his cane to have to eat a Canuck Amara to the face and put his cane at 2.
The grenade is very good at doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're Lori Bell is a strong one.
You would be proud of me. I actually finished that game off with Lori using hand grenade to kill a Marcus for the final soul.
Nice. yeah, so just wanted to call it the new heroes.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so we have the bottom heroes. So we actually had 2 heroes that were not taken a single time.
Okay. I mean, one of them shouldn't be any surprise, to in my opinion, because we don't have any representation of that god at all.
Yeah. So the first one is Zhonya. And, yeah, I think, you know, Zhonya is one of those that is a very, very strong aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, as in her avatar bonus and what she gets from Brewellyn just
pushes her over the top
to 11. Just, yeah. You know, like, just like Fazil and Tomas. Like,
yeah.
The god very clearly provides a lot of value to the avatar. Mm-hmm. To the point where, like, pretty much anytime I play Brewellyn, I just ban Zhonya.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I look at the warband and kind of see, like, does this matter? Does that matter? But usually it's like Brewellyn with like Zhonya on the table, especially with the change to the Ring of Teleportation. I think went down to 0 fate to buy. I think
I don't remember for sure,
but yeah, I think that occurred, and because of that, you can play like Zhonya as Rakir.
Yeah, because you just get her the second.
You get her second win because she's base melee 8. She gets a gazillion dice on a charge.
Yep.
And she kills a model. She gets an additional
action.
Additional, yeah. So on the Halls of Eternal Champions, Ring of Teleportation is now free.
Okay.
And what Ring of Teleportation does is it makes effigy recalls now cost 1 action point instead of 2. So what you can do with Zhonya, if you have second wind, is you can charge someone, get your charge attack, hopefully crit, because if you're level 2, she gets like a gazillion dice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your follow-up attack, and you crit, roll your 2d6 damage, and if you get the kill, you get an additional action. You can use that action to then effigy recall Zhonya back to your effigy. It's a really strong tool to keep her safe, because that is Zhonya is probably the best model blowing up basically anything in the game. Her problem is living after you do so.
Correct.
So this actually lets you play like a yo-yo style Zhonya. Especially strong in 3s, because you can basically charge from your effigy for most of the board. So very strong combo in 3s. So yeah, obviously, you're not probably going to see her a lot of outside the god. I think that's because people tend to want to take damage dealers that get in god benefits.
Yeah.
However, with a lot of Dhonragar currently in the meta, I might try and look at slotting a Zhonya in if I was playing, I don't know, something like Ista maybe, right? Mm-hmm. Like a double tank with Zhonya, because you can protect her.
I mean, even
gives you the tool to blow Dhonragar up.
Even a Krognar warband, in my opinion, maybe looks at Zhonya even, because with the warband bonus being the Ring of Teleportation, effectively,
yep.
You can run her in with a charge, hit him, blow him up, even for just the 1d6 true damage, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's worth the fate.
It's not as self-sufficient as it is in Brewellyn, but it's still something to where you could put some damage on him, and because she already has enough dice with an armor shredder, she's still going to push, you know, 3 damage through on that.
Yeah, but then if she doesn't push off, then she's also taking like a parting blow on that one.
Which, why wouldn't she push off?
I mean, if you got to get a crit, you're also going to need some J's and stuff. So yeah, it's doable, but I don't know if one fate for 1d6 true damage is worth it. I think if my plan was to kill the Don in Krognar, I would do like a Mazuzi plus Rakir. Like, use Mazuzi to set up poison, Rakir to toxin.
If just you can,
yeah. Because that feels a lot more.
I'm just saying, she is an option for it, and she's a more, you know, she is a bigger, harder hitting aggressor that you basically don't have to give her. It's kind of like Zim, right? Mm-hmm. Zim's a ranged aggressor who naturally has that magic 8.
Yeah.
So a Ring of Power on Zim can be good, but realistically, yeah, against your average, you know, Agi 4 character,
it's not bad without an item, yeah.
Yeah, you throw an armor shredder on him, and now he starts looking at these tanks going, come here, you.
Yeah, I think Krognar, I always feel like I want more Krognar champs, not less, because of the effigy power.
No, you're absolutely obviously right.
Obviously, Emerald Sphere kind of fixes some of that. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Ista, and maybe even Torin might be kind of an interesting spot. Ooh. For her. So Torin, again, you wouldn't really need to give her an item early. So maybe Torin as well.
Maybe, yeah.
The base melee 8, you can use your early fate to kind of tool up your range damage dealers. And then use Zhonya to maybe kind of finish stuff. Like, again, like a charge in, hit him again kind of a thing or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But hard, especially with a lot of Dhonragar, Zhonya is not a terrible plan to toss in.
No.
I think more in Torin and Ista is probably where I'd play her out of God. So, yeah, surprisingly.
I've seen crazier stuff.
Yeah. And then the other ones, I guess not a huge surprise, but the other ones on Kura is not played at all. People just don't like on Kura. I kind of like her, but I've been souring on her a little bit. I think part of that might be I've been playing against a lot of Kogan, and Kogan licks his chops when he sees an on Kura.
I mean,
so
Kogan shreds her. Let's be real. I mean,
yes, that definitely makes it feel not nearly as good.
You know, yeah, and that's the thing is, like, if you want to get value out of Ankura, unfortunately, what you have to do is you have to be able to get her into melee,
mm-hmm,
to really get that, you know, bark skin going, to get the bell going. You need to get like all the pieces of her going.
Yeah.
To make her really work, and especially with Krognar coming in, being as played as it is, Kogan being a champion of Krognar,
yeah,
you know, that's kind of going to set the stage for her to definitely take a little bit more of a back seat to some of these other tank/defenders.
Sure, and I think we're seeing a lot more range damage, mm-hmm, as well lately too, which is a problem for her.
Well, and that's the thing I was going to say is, I mean, even if you take a look at one of the most classic ranged aggressors, right, who, mm-hmm, hasn't been taken much at all, which is Alendir looks at her, goes, cool, I'll mark her as my target. I'll take an armor shredder. I'm effectively the same as if I had my freaking,
yeah,
what's the ranged artifact? Heartseeker.
Heartseeker, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, you're throwing dice as if you still had your Heartseeker at that point, and you're still throwing 5 dice, and now she just gets torn apart by Alendir. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's one of those things that I would love to be like, yeah, it's, you know, it doesn't make any sense that we're not seeing her, but it really does.
Yeah, I think currently, I don't know what she needs to kind of change that, but if you make her too good against range, then she's just too good against everything. And, like, you know, is that then a problem? I mean, we have other Agi 3 res 2 heroes, you know, like Thrommel.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not that big of a problem to maybe do something to help her against range characters.
I mean, a simple aspect that crossed my mind is she is kind of this, like, I don't know. I want to say plague demon, right?
Yeah.
But what if you, like, did the same thing kind of like freaking Rakir does with you, where you get you're like considered the +1 agi against it, right? Or Zim does, yeah, that. Something like that might help, but I mean, I don't know. It's,
yeah, I haven't given it too much thought, but it would be, it seems like the range is so punishing on her,
mm-hmm,
that you have to be like either really aggressive to like launch her into that, but then she can just get swarmed and die. And I don't know. I think there might be something that could be done there, at least to make her not quite so easily susceptible to it.
Yeah.
Or maybe what could be interesting with the bell is you know, for range models that are near the bell, they also lose a die. So instead of you need to be near it, maybe, or something. I don't know. But yeah, she's just been not overly favored by the community, I feel like, for a while now.
Yeah.
I don't think there's many people playing her. I've always kind of liked her because I like her model. I like the debuff she brings. I still use her in my one Tomas Warband.
I love her in Tauren.
Yeah, Tauren, she's kind of interesting as well. I actually had a game with her over the past weekend where I put a Hunter's Knife on her. I used her to face tank a Canuke Mara.
Yeah, she'll do that well.
Was able to hold the Shrine and then kill the Canuke Mara, you know, generate me some fate. Because with the res 2 against melee, I basically got it so, like, the first turn, I think the Canuke Mara got to shoot me, but I had cover because I was behind the Shrine.
Yeah.
And then the next turn, I basically charged it, pushed off to control the Shrine, and then, you know, when it moved, it had to move into me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had the bell out.
Yeah.
So now it's only doing a 4-dice attack, and I'm res 2. And then because she's leech 1, when I hit it twice to kill it the following turn, like, I leeched up some of the damage I took, and then, you know, I got the items and the fate and the level. So I've used her a bit as a jungler from that kind of a perspective, where she can kind of...
Yeah.
She won't necessarily kill a monster in a single activation, but if you give her the Hunter's Knife, she's pretty good at killing most things, being base melee 7.
Yeah.
You know, a 2-3-4 damage grid. But with, like, the bell, even without the bell, she still res 2, so she can kind of eat a crit and then kind of leech it back up and not feel as bad.
Yep.
But obviously there are a lot more efficient junglers in the game, but she is a kind of interesting option, at least in Tauren. I think if you need a jungler in Tomas, you just do, I mean, Kayn's kind of the champ of that.
Yeah, I wish I could say Kayn wasn't, but when it comes to Tomas and you're talking a jungler, that's definitely Kayn's thing.
It's Kayn basically two to three action skills, essentially any monster in the game with the Hunter's Knife, and then you get the heal from Tomas. So
yeah,
I don't know what she needs. So some of the other stuff that was a little bit interesting are some of the models that were only taken a single time. And I'm just going to rattle through the four of them, and two of them are going to be really surprising.
I think so.
So the four models are Arya, Cruel, Maltique, Skoll, and Thorgar. I think Cruel and Thorgar being only taken a single time is like, man, how the mighty have fallen.
I wish I could say the Cruel is surprising, but honestly, I'm not. I'm really not surprised, because when you think about where Cruel is used. Bruellen, Krognar.
I mean, we were seeing Cruel taken in a lot of God a lot as well. I think
we were. Cruel still that was before his change.
True, but I think there's still... Bloodlust still has a lot of value in things like Ista.
I'm not debating that it still has value. However... Yeah. Now the fact that it is, we have no Bruellen players, I think that tools down the amount of times Cruel is taken, and B, the other god he can be taken in naturally, right, is Krognar.
Yep.
You have Zarin.
Yeah.
So it's like, that kind of makes a lot of sense to me, but I don't disagree with you that there's definitely some play for him in... Other, you know, like, I personally still like him in a, like you said, an Ista warband.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ista tends to play that beefy, tanky, you know, we're going to just deathball you, right?
Yep.
And so he's definitely got some benefits there. But I'm not surprised to see that he has dropped.
Yeah, Thorgar to me was a bit surprising.
Yeah, that was definitely a, like, I did not expect to see that Thorgar only made it into one list.
Yeah, I mean, he used to be by far the most popular damage dealer in the game, even in V2 for a while. I guess, obviously, no Bruellen hurts him a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had 3 Gruul players, so, you know, only one Thorgar. But, I mean, we were seeing him taken out of God quite a bit as well for Thorgar. And I know I still run him in my Gruul Warband.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like him as a low investment damage dealer.
Yeah.
You know, in Gruul, which is nice. I think Gruul, it's being Fate Light and Gruul is very helpful when you have a very Fate expensive like front end.
Yep.
Right? Like, you want to get those items out there. Thorgar really doesn't give a shit about items, to be honest. He doesn't, like, his level 2 is good, but it's not, like, game-breaking. Like, you kind of want a Staff of Gruul on him. You kind of don't. You know, it depends. Say, you know, if he's level 2, do you really need a Staff of Gruul? But, you know.
I'm actually curious about something now that you mention it.
Yep.
Okay. Now, okay, so Thorgar was taken once. Drogoth was only taken 4 times.
Yeah, so there's also Drogoth is what? He's Bruellen?
He's Bruellen and Gruul. Yeah.
So he's taken Adagad. I think Drogoth is pretty popular. I mean, looks like he's taken twice. He should be taken only 3 times.
Oh, okay. Not 4. I mean, I know I took him in mine. Times.
Yeah, he's taken in. He was taken once in Torin.
Okay.
But yeah, so twice in Gruul, once in Torin, it looks like. So, yeah, it's. Drogoth is one that you can. You don't need to put effort into. Like effort in, you know, like, he doesn't need level priority and mm-hmm. some of that. He's actually. I've used him a couple times with Yorgoth, so it's not a bad pairing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thorgar was one that, you know, people were using quite a bit. They were taking him out of God in places because he just worked pretty well with anything.
Yeah.
You know, he's a Fate Light damage dealer. Doesn't need levels, doesn't need items to have an impact.
Yep.
So yeah, just kind of an interesting one to see him drop, because pretty sure if we go back a couple leagues, he was, like, by and away, like,
yeah,
taken the most.
He definitely was. I also am wondering if part of that, of him dropping in popularity being taken, was also due to the fact that we now have Yorgoth, and that people wanted to play Yorgoth, right?
Yeah, that probably did impact them a bit. Is they fill, they're obviously good, consistent damage dealers. However, I think there's a big difference between Thorgar and Yorgoth in the aspect of Yorgoth really wants some priority. He wants priority in levels.
Yep.
And probably an early item, you know, an armor shredder if you're going into, like, that tank or something.
Yep.
Or, you know, a Vorpal if you really just going to need that extra oomph. And then he really still wants level 3, where I feel like Thorgar can provide value without either of those two things. Like, you know, with him enraging, you don't really necessarily need an item on him because he can go up to melee 9.
Yep.
And the levels, like, yeah, they can be good, but I think Mancatcher, since it became 2 hexes, it has value, but it doesn't have the same kind of value that it used to have.
Correct.
With the range change. And then, like, level 3 is good, but it's only good if you have external healing, which, depending on the kind of warband you're playing, you may or may not have.
Right.
So, yep. Yeah. And then we had a couple of call-outs here. There's a lot of Zyvera. That was one that we've seen. I mean, I guess she's only taken 3 times, so I guess not a lot of Zyvera. But she's more in the middle of the pack, which I thought was interesting, because we both thought, you know, after we did our worst warband challenge, that, like, hey, you could give Zyvera. She might be the worst Soulgazer. But I think she's seeing a bunch of play in Ista because of the amount of healing they have. I've seen it talked about in the Discord a bit. I've seen it kind of mentioned. And actually, yeah, two of the Ista warbands both brought Zyvera. Probably because of that, because they have, you know, Dawn Regard that they can cut off of, and then they have, you know, healing from Isabel and other stuff to kind of get that free damage.
Right. Well, and I think this is the funny thing about it, right, is that if you actually look at it, the two Soulgazers that we basically gave each other for Worst Warband Challenge are both tied. They're both at 3 models.
Yeah, Sam was also
tied. You know, because Sam was taken 3 times. Sam, yeah. And so, realistically, the only... I'm going through this. So there are 2 Soulgazers, it looks like, that I'm seeing that were taken lower than they were.
And yeah, that's Cruel and...
Cruel and Nias. Nias. Okay. Yeah. and obviously, I'm not 100% sure why that is. Maybe it's just they didn't fit into the warbands that people were building.
Yeah, and I mean, we're only looking at 16 warbands, right? So it's not like it's this massive amount of data to...
Yeah.
compile or to parse. So
yeah, so I mean, it's just one of those things, but I definitely think that's definitely interesting that while we both, the two freaking Soul Gazers we both gave each other for the worst warband challenge are still hitting in the middle of the pack. And I think that's funny.
Yeah, and obviously, like, I think Zyvera is good in scenarios where you have some setup for her to be good. And yeah, so I think that's where there's some of that value to her. So, especially in Ista, you have a lot of good healing. And I think that's I think that's where you really notice where she can be strong.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So, and then real quick, other fun call out here, because we both played in the worst warband challenge with Cradle. I think it's kind of funny that now there are two Cradles that got thrown into this. Obviously you took Cradle, right?
Yeah. So
you're one of them.
Yeah. So I think after the worst warband challenge, there were some things about Cradle that I kind of actually liked. And I thought, hey, I'm playing Krognar, which was probably a terrible, horrendous, no good idea. but it was, you know, I did the poll and it was between Tauren and Krognar.
So how did you end up actually deciding that?
So it ended up being, I think it was tied 5-5 when I started thinking about warbands. And, I built a Tauren warband,
mm-hmm.
which actually was the warband I played in the event over the weekend. Cause I got challenged to play Tauren.
Okay.
And so I had that warband and then I was like, you know, maybe I should try Krognar. So Krognar, I play against a lot of Krognar locally. Both my brothers been playing a lot of Krognar. One of the other locals I play with is just kind of swapped into playing some Krognar.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, I don't want to do these like Krognar on Krognar matchups in person.
Right.
I thought that would be a bit
weird.
Obviously, like, they're going to have mirror matches and stuff and whatnot, but you know, if I'm consistently but
if
getting,
if they want to do it, they can play each other for the match.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I've kind of been trying to play Gruul a bit less to kind of just, you know, expand my horizons.
Beef up your acumen.
Yeah. I mean, I've played against a lot of stuff, so it's more the like try out some new stuff, kind of let the people I play with consistently see some new stuff too.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's, you know, we're a small group. There's the three of us now. I've got another couple of locals that I think we're shifting our play night. And I think we're going to start getting a little bit more, especially once we get out of like some sports seasons.
Nice.
Because one of the guys, you know, coaches some sports for his kids. So.
Right.
So yeah, the thought was, okay, well, Tauren, I'm not as comfortable with. I've played a couple of times. I think I did one league with him and did, I think I went 2-2, went okay. I was like, okay, let's try Tauren. I had a weird triple tank and a quad tank Tauren build at one point. And I debated playing that. With the thought process just being like Bastion plus tanks can make tanks do a lot of damage. Bastion does a lot of healing. And then, you know, if they kill a tank, they've got three actions to get back in the fight. It was like this weird, goofy thing that like it probably would work out dramatically better in my brain than it ever would on the table. Mm-hmm. But I ended up building a Tauren warband that I didn't hate. But then, you know, Krognar was up there and like, you know, I've really not played a lot of Krognar. I think it's only a handful of games. And after Warband Challenge, I kind of wanted to try a little more Cradle. And I think if you're going to play Cradle, I think Krognar feels the best.
Makes sense.
For, I think she's also Bruellen.
Yep.
But for some reason, I just don't. I feel like for me to make Cradle feel really worth it, you either need to use her to make your mobility really, really strong, or you kind of want to play like a weird tanky warband where like the healing becomes relevant.
Makes sense.
And I think Brewellen is, I'll take a thing from, you know, the Jets Hard Knocks that was, I've been watching over the past few weeks. All gas, no brakes, right? That's Brewellen. And I think she can have some value in that, because I think providing some healing to that aggression is good.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're ever going to play an overly defensive game with Brewellen. I think she might not. And maybe she is better in Brewellen than – I literally don't think anyone's played her in Brewellen. Like, even when she got the buffs, I'm pretty sure only people were taking her in Kragnar. Yeah, and clearly no one's playing Brewellen. So also, you know, fun fact.
I think her place in Brewellen, if I were to guess, right, is she kind of plays as a weird role, that emergency ambulance service.
Yeah.
In a way of like,
some of that.
Cool, I'm going to charge Zhonya in, Zhonya gets herself into trouble, or I'm going to charge this model in, they get into trouble because I didn't see something.
Yeah.
She can get in there, and then hopefully, you know, she'll have, because she's in the mix, she'll have some of those shadow mists and be able to be like, cool, shadow door this person out, shadow step out.
Yeah, so there's some of that, but like, if she's the only shadow orb user in the warband, it can limit the effectiveness of that too. So
you've
like,
you got to think about that.
It just naturally feels better in Kragnar.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I wanted to give her a try. My first game did not go overly well, but I don't know if that was necessarily a cradle problem. Well, it was a cradle problem when I forgot to put a shadow orb in an intelligent spot. So my dice also were really funky. The game went off the rails really early in that one, and then it snowballed.
That's fair.
We'll talk about a bit about that on next podcast, but I really wanted to give her a bit more of a fair shake. I've tried her in V2 a little bit in Gruul, you know, playing with the herd. I think there might be the problem with the herd is it can be damage light. And bringing another supporty kind of model when you could have like a Gendris,
yeah,
Zyvera, and Cradle means you just have no damage.
Yeah.
So maybe she might have some more value than I expected in Brewellen, but I figured, hey, let's give her a try in Kragnar because it's her natural fit. I'm trying her in Kragnar. We'll see. First game, unimpressed with her. I think she just did a couple of points of healing or something. I think I did shadow door a model away at one point, but I was so far behind that I don't think it ended up mattering, but I do remember shadow dooring something and feeling not terrible about doing that. And I think she did some healing to make it difficult to kill a Piper that got kind of low, but it, you know, we were playing on that goofy map where it's two soul pits, like one hex away from each other.
Yep.
And that's just not Krognar's bag. It doesn't feel like.
No, I mean, you want a map like what we're playing for the event this upcoming week.
Yeah, you want like a split soul pit map where like you can set up your mobility. Cradle makes that easier, right? Because you can send Cradle to one side. You can send your Rakir or your Umbral Sphere or your Zarin to the other. And then you can really thread that effigy power.
Yep.
Because I still feel like that is one of the strongest parts of Kragnar is the mobility and repositioning you can have between, you know, one action point effigy recalls to, right? Because you can like effigy recall, double walk, and basically be back in a position you need, you know, worthwhile in, you know, or the EP of, okay, I go grab an early soul. Where I grab an early soul, then I can bounce everything to the other soul pit to grab the other soul. And then you're kind of on a bit of a lead, and then you can press the advantage. At least, you know, again, that's how it works in my brain. So far, my Kragnar skills have been pretty mediocre in practice.
You got to play more than two games.
Yeah. So I've only got a handful of them under my belt. But I don't hate the warband I have. I think it's slightly interesting because it didn't bring Kogan, which I think is definitely a bit of a weird thing from a Kragnar perspective. But that's because they bring Yorgoth, and I think bringing both of them is probably not the greatest idea.
That's fair. Especially, like you said, where they both kind of want that level two.
They both really want level two, yeah.
Yeah, and I think realistically, if you do bring both, you just have to understand that You got to pick your one that you're going to get. And then, like, for example, if you pick Kogan, right, because that reach is such a big thing for him.
Yeah.
You kind of have to go in with the understanding that Yorgath is going to do some hits here and there, but his job is specifically to walk in, knock people down.
Yeah, right? It might become more of a, you do the, whatever the strike the is.
Ground smash.
Ground smash, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be more of a ground smash setup for something.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think, you know, we'll see how it goes the rest of the league.
Yep.
It's more of a forcing myself to play him a bit. We'll see how I like him. But yeah, I think the Cradle is an interesting one. Do you have any ones that look kind of interesting to you when you see them, either from they're taking more than you expected or less than you expected or something like that?
Well, I mean, I definitely am glad to see Alan Deer back at, you know, even just two people taking him, because I know he was down at the bottom there for a little while. But yeah. I am actually a little surprised that we're seeing Ashel, because he had definitely fallen off on his popularity of people using him.
Yeah, he was in I think he was not taken last league or something like that as well.
Yeah, and so I definitely am glad to see that there are a couple of people trying him. I know one of them is Jeff, and
yeah.
I got to say, in his Tauren Warband, I just looked at it tonight since I'm playing him this week. I'm not sure I want to give him Ashel. I'm seriously looking at that and going,
yeah.
I'm not sure I like that in there.
So I banned him in my game.
Uh-huh.
And that's because, again, we were playing around, you know, how clumped are you going to be?
Yeah.
Because you're all there's the two soul pits there.
Yep.
Everything is going to be clumped up.
Yep.
That Ashel is just going to have a field day that I'm like, you know, I cannot give him Ashel.
Yep.
Because I originally was, I think I wanted to get rid of his Rukir because just then he didn't really have a melee presence, or getting rid of his Thrommel because then he had like no, you know, a lot less tankiness. So it was just one of those things where I kind of wanted to let the Ashel through, and then my plan was to punish it, right? Like, all right, I can get in there with, you know, different stuff and make Ashel's life painful. Miserable.
Yep.
And, you know, I've played Ashel in a handful of games and had that happen to me, and it feels bad.
Yep.
So that was kind of my thought, but then I looked at it and I'm like, yeah, I cannot do that because all my stuff is going to be too packed in. I can't use my mobility to spread out.
Yep.
I can't do any of that on this map. So I'm like, yeah, you just can't have Ashel. So
yep.
Depending on the map, if it's a bit more of a split one or how the terrain is, you know, you might be able to let Ashel through. Granted, you're playing Gruul, so you're definitely not a fan of fire. But you also have Gendrys, so you can, you know, you can put down the forest. And if it's not level 2, Ashel gets real sad. So, you know, there's some of that, too.
Oh, yeah. So, well, guys, as always, you know, Wonky and I want to thank you for hopping in, spending an hour and a half or so with us, listening to two Judgment nuts just talk about Judgment. And we want to thank you for obviously participating in the That's Judgment, folks. So that way we have these stats we can go with. As always, if there are any topics that you would like us to discuss, anything in the future, please feel free to throw them in the podcast and streams channel of the Discord and ping us with those. So that way we can get them out and talk about them in our episodes. We do love to hear from you guys about what you want to hear from us about. And in the meantime, Wonky, let's portal on out of here.